The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone. Woo!
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, God. And welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Shay, we've got Jake Cantu and you for a three-hour ride here on this Deal Breakers Thursday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. That's our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. As always, thanks for keeping the conversation going, and that's where you can watch the show on the Twitch. And Cap, we are getting ready for Sunday as the Bears take on the Lions, and again, there's a lot of Bears fans that we see on social media and, of course, on a lot of talk shows that are checking in, talking about how excited they are about the Bears offense, even though the Bears have lost five of the last six. But just let's just flip the conversation this morning and talk about the expertise of the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus. We knew what his expertise was coming in as a defensive coordinator, and now he's an overseer of the Bears.
He's a CEO. Which is what I really, really like. Mm-hmm. Like, when that guy speaks, it's so different than Matt Nagy. And this is not me taking a shot at Nagy. He had his way. That's fine. I feel like Matt lets Alan Williams coordinate the defense. Mm-hmm. Does he have input? Sure. He was a D coordinator and a good one to have gotten a head coaching job.
Sure.
And he lets Luke Getsy run the offense. But he oversees that and says, all right, I'm good if we're going to try this. And then he's back there with his little legal pad. I watch. He makes his notes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have his, as the afternoon show called, a Denny's menu.
Right.
Coach, you want to challenge this? He's right there. Huh? I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do on 3rd and 7 next. No. Yes, I want to challenge it. Whatever the case may be. That's what I really have been most impressed by. He's a vanilla guy, mm-hmm. but I don't think he's vanilla how he deals with his team.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think it's somewhat, so far, and again, it's just not even a full season yet, it's somewhat collegiate the way he's able to handle his players. Meaning that when you hear the press conference, he gives this hits principle, this hokey hits principle.
Correct.
But I understand why it is because it's keep it simple, stupid, right? It's pretty much, here are four things
that
to look at.
That was the one I subscribed to. Keep it the kiss principle.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid.
He just reimagined it by calling it the hits principle.
Correct.
That's what it really is.
Tailored it to football.
I mean, when you really do a deep dive, it's not even that deep. It's just that. The kiss principle is the hits principle.
In that
it's like, here are four things that I need you to do for us to be successful.
I knew we were in trouble when Nagy said, yeah, it takes like 5 years to feel really like totally immersed in what we're doing offensively.
Okay,
excuse me?
That's a problem.
5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. Mm-hmm. And then Mitch is now at level 202 in 2019, and we got troubles.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
So I look at our team. Detroit's rolling in here. They're not a good team.
Right.
They have more talent on their roster than the Bears do. That's a fact. They don't have the quarterback we have, but their offensive line. Shay, correct me if I'm wrong. 3 first-round picks on the O-line, right?
That is correct, yes.
And they're a good offensive line. It's not like 3 bad picks.
That is also correct, yes.
Okay. So there's a good offensive line against a bad front 7 for us. That matchup concerns me. But we've got Justin.
That's true. But let's just take a overarching view of where the Bears are. I think there are a lot of Bears fans are taken off guard by all of this offense. And rightfully so. The last three games since the Patriots game, we've been seeing a lot of points, something at the average of 29 points a game, something along those lines, the last three games. And Justin Fields was able to get an award that we announced yesterday, the NFC Player of the Week.
Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because he has been tremendous. But, Cap, I think that, for me, it's about balance. It's one of the few times in our lifetimes, it's definitely on the air, where we're talking about an offense is better than the defense. And we know that this is all about transition. But when we hear from the Alex Browns, when we hear from the guy that's supposed to have the most expertise in defense in Eberflus, and we see this defense, it's still unacceptable. I think it's still a little bit of a culture shock for us to see the defense give up so much. We have seen the Bears bend and don't break, where they give up a ton of yardage between the 20s and then limit a team to a field goal. What we saw and what we have been seeing the last two or three games is a defense that just can't get out of its own way. You're not getting any pass rush, and you can understand why. Look at the talent. But on the other end, if you're not getting a pass rush, Cap, I expect for this team between now and the end of the season to be able to be opportunistic from a secondary standpoint. You've got to be able to get some turnovers here. I mean, all these quarterbacks are not so perfect that they're not going to turn the ball over. Against Tua in the game on Sunday, man, he had plenty of time to pass. And, boy, his uniform was clean because there was no pass rush. But also the secondary was not at the doorstep. They could not get to Waddle. They could not get to Hill.
Because Waddle and Hill are that good. You want to make sure you don't get beat deep. Oh, God. Because if Tyreek Hill gets behind you, it's over. Forget about it. Put the 7 on the board. If you can't pressure Jared Goff, this could be a tough game to win. If you give Jared Goff 3.5-4 seconds to stand back there and just go through his reads, bam, got him.
Right.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is better than any receiver we have, probably. If we cannot pressure that guy, this is a tougher game that people want to realize. If we can get just some pressure and stop their run game, you should win this game by 7. You should win this game and feel like, played pretty solid football.
Well, what's going to develop faster? Is it going to be Justin Fields and Braxton Jones and Velus Jones? Or will it be the secondary and Brisker and Gordon? Because that's important too, Cab. Like, I think that it is something that's not talked about enough. For the last couple of years, where the Bears were just not opportunistic, not getting turnovers. That takeaways was the hallmark of Lovie Smith when he was here. And a little bit after that as well. But it has just been an empty bucket when it comes to takeovers for this Bears team. You've got to be able to flip the field at some point. If you're not getting pass rush and you're not getting takeaways, then it'll look like the last few games. And again, as a Bears fan, we're used to running the football well and a strong defense. I wonder what's going to develop first under Eberflus. Seems like the offense, based on what we've been seeing so far.
Yeah, until you get Eberflus some talent. We don't have a 3 technique that helps with the run. We don't have edges that pressure the quarterback. You traded away your all-pro linebacker who leads the NFL in tackles. You traded away your single-season sack leader who a year ago had 18 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They're all gone. Akeem Hicks, see ya. Khalil Mack, no thanks. So I like Brisker and Gordon and Jalen Johnson. I do, and Eddie Jackson. I like that. Unless the quarterback on the other side is going to make mistakes. If you don't pressure him, these quarterbacks are too good.
Yeah, but that Bears defense is preventing me from seeing more Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I want to see as many possessions with Fields out there as possible. When this defense can't get off the field, that's a problem for me. See, I got to look at both ends, Cap. In that game that we saw on Sunday against the Dolphins, it was a letdown on special teams, a letdown defensively. It's one of the rare times where the offense actually did the job. Think about how many games that you've seen. You say, boy, that offense was terrific, but that defense sucked, and the special teams was terrible.
33-29-32. That's the last three games Bears scoring.
Yeah.
33, 29, 32. When was the last time the Bears had a three-game run like that?
It has to be from the 90s, right? Has to be.
I'd have to go back 06. I know they averaged 27 a game. Mm-hmm. Had a great defense. Got great field position. I'd have to look. But I don't remember 33, 29, 32. And against the Lions, if the Bears don't score like a significant number of points, I will be very surprised.
Some thoughts from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Bears. The biggest issue with your third down defense is...
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it is execution, you know, so I would say that. But we just got to do a good job of creating, have creative ways to create pressure. You know, I think, you know, winning on third down a lot of times is creating pressure on third down to get the quarterback uncomfortable. Ideally, you like to do that with your front four, but sometimes, you know, you have to mix it up and you got to be able to change things where you send five, six and different things and create different looks for the quarterback. So we just got to do a better job being creative that way, and we're looking to do that this week.
It's a no-name defense, meaning that they haven't been able to make a major name for themselves. We haven't heard the name Dominic Robinson for a while, too. Remember we talked about him early?
Yeah.
Where's he been? That's a draft pick. Where's he been?
He's a fifth-round rookie.
Mm-hmm.
It got to get stronger. And when you have Big Bad Bob Quinn on one side,
yeah,
he attracts more attention. You're not getting any push up the middle. Makes it tougher on Dominic Robinson.
I just like these names. Jalen Johnson, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, Eddie Jackson, and then whatever you want to do at one of the corners. I guess it's Kendall Vildor for now. Maybe that's, if it's not Jalen Jones, then maybe you got to find that in the draft or in free agency at some point. But I like the idea that in a year or two from now, those will be cornerstones for this Bears defense in the secondary. As far as pass rush, hey, you named it. We are missing so many quality players that could be able to rush the passer. I'm just wondering, like, Shay, when it comes to Goff, and there are numbers that I know that you have that could back up the claims that the offense isn't good for the Lions, but if you can't get pass rush, even Goff's jersey is going to be clean.
Well, and I think that's part of what Eberflus is saying there, and it really speaks to the development of the young secondary, is getting creative with your pass rush. Probably means we're going to see some things like Jaquan Brisker blitzing a little more often. Maybe we see Kyler Gordon come on cornerback blitzes on third down. That kind of also speaks to some of the development of your young guys.
They don't like to blitz.
Right,
like they're so anti-blitz.
I agree, but that's where Eberflus is talking about. They're getting creative on third down, bringing five or six. That is a blitz if you're going to rush five or six. And I think when you think about getting creative and where it's coming from, that's where we maybe start seeing Brisker, Gordon, some of these guys from outside of the front seven start blitzing.
So my fear is their run game, they got Williams and they've got Swift.
Mm-hmm.
If they can be successful running against our front seven, which... why wouldn't they be? Everyone else is. Now you're in third and short. Makes it tough to blitz.
Mm-hmm.
You get them back third and nine, different story.
I'd love for the Bears to find some splash plays defensively. I'd love for that to happen. I don't know if they're going to win the ball game or not. We haven't gotten there yet. But I just would like for the Bears to be able to show something. Because you know why? Because this is an open tryout for a lot of these guys. Between now and the end of the regular season, who's going to be here and who won't be on this Bears defense? Right? I mean, that's a big question because, yes, they will plug and play some players through free agency in the draft, but is Travis Gibson a guy for the future? Morrow, is he a guy? Jack Sanborn, he's a guy defensively? I have no idea. So this is an open tryout for a lot of these guys defensively.
It is.
Dominic Robinson?
It's
Angela Blackson?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to judge them when they're put in a really tough spot. Boy, that corner got beat. Well, the quarterback stood back there for 17,000 seconds because nobody got a hand on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tua literally got pressured twice last week.
Right.
And then you add in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki, and you're like, oh, boy. Yeah, that's a bad combination.
It's just different, man. That's all.
That's not what we watched.
Yeah, no. I mean, for years.
for years.
Right, exactly.
So. You knew the Bears were going to hit you in the mouth. Right. You're going to be in a physical football game. You're probably going to lose next week because they were really physical with you, but the Bears can't score.
Yeah.
Now it's completely flipped.
So how about this, Shay? Let's open the phone lines. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Bears fans, do you need to see the defense show some signs of development against Detroit? Now, still to come, we have some numbers to share with you about the Bears' next opponent. But when you look at this team, both sides of the football, but in particular defense, did you need to see some signs of development against Detroit? You see a lot of offense. What about the defense? Let's get your thoughts about it coming up next. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
Cap and J-Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We hope that you have a great Thursday. We got Deal Breakers coming up at 8:35. Cap, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, sir. Brought to you by Ankin Law, 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer in your phone when you need him.
Sign my ball. Your Honor, I'd like to be able to give you Exhibit A, if you may allow me to. Exhibit A.
We'll enter that as evidence.
Okay. Your Honor, we have a man that stands outside of our old National Bank studios.
Yes.
Every morning.
Every day.
Rain or shine.
5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, or every week that I'm here, other than vacation.
Yes. That's when he takes off, by the way.
Right.
Cap's not here. I'll be back.
I'm out. He was here last week when you were on vacay.
He stands out here every morning. The reason why we bring him up is because Cap and I were talking during the break that, you know, listen, one thing Cap and I, we have a lot of things in common, but also we have a heart for people.
We do.
You and I both have that in common. We like to be able to take care of people as much as we can. And so our guy that stands out here, he stands out here, again, rain or shine, snow, he's just standing there. But I noticed, Cap, that I don't know if he's homeless. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's just going from house to house, being able to stay someplace warm. But I'm standing there watching him while you do your status and snoring, and he's got his iPhone out.
Right.
Now, he's not dressed well. I mean, he's dressed okay. How would you describe his dress? It's not ratty, necessarily, 100%.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
He's got and it's always a different outfit. Like, he's got clothes.
Yes.
The hat's a little ratty. But
yes.
Other than the hat,
mm-hmm.
like, he's always makes a nice appearance.
Mm-hmm.
He always has a large blunt that he rolls up and smokes.
Well, that's all right. He's a slow smoker, too, by the way.
He is.
He likes to savor.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll last the whole three-hour show.
Three-hour blunt.
Right.
A three-hour blunt.
Right. And then he has a coffee, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands right here and listens.
Hmm.
He'll dance a little bit in front of us.
Yes.
But he looks like an affable, nice gentleman.
I understand, Cap, but I mean,
probably what, 40?
Maybe 40, but then, you know, the pants sometimes is not great. I don't know if he's working a 9-to-5. I just think it's fascinating that those that come across as less than, or meaning like, I don't have a job, or I'm trying to make ends meet, he's got the best iPhone. He's got a better iPhone than me.
Right.
How'd that happen, Cap?
I would like to know.
Want to bring him in?
I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, what's your deal? Like, you're here every day.
Yes.
Honey, I'm off to work. What do you do? I stand and listen to Captain J-Hood.
Yes.
And then when we're done, he leaves.
But why is it that he has better shoes than me? That's the thing. Now, you've seen this, Shay, over the years, right? Someone that says, hey, can I get that dollar? You know, can I borrow some money? But yeah, but you're asking me why you're still holding the latest iPhone.
Right.
And Yeezys.
Dude, I
try not to judge because I never know what anybody's situation is, how they might have a phone. There's things that can happen. But, yes, I always find it a little irritating if somebody's panhandling and they're, like, on Twitter at the same time.
Shay, one of the guys actually offered to buy hoodie at Starbucks one day. Like a week later, can I get some money to get some breakfast? Wait a minute. You were at Starbucks the other day with your iPhone.
That is true.
Right?
He's just down bad that morning. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, I said, hey, man, what are you doing? He's like, I said, Starbucks? I just wanted something different. Oh, I see. How about that, JC? A little bit. He just wanted a little something different. Like, if I'm down on my luck, I'm trying to get the, you know, cheapest coffee. What a Dunkin'.
Right.
Or some place like that.
Correct.
7-Eleven. No, he's like, I mean, all this big elaborate type of he may have a half calf soy lot. Excuse me?
Right.
Didn't you just ask me for a dollar, but you're buying a $10 coffee?
Right.
Excuse me?
Yeah, could I get a venti, half calf, use the coconut milk? Yeah. I'm like, hold on.
Listen, you like what you like, right? But just the idea that, hey, man, you're asking me for a dollar, but yet you got a $10 coffee here. I mean, why don't you just get a 7-Eleven? It's just the same thing. Just put a couple of equals in it. It'll be the same.
Like, we got the one guy.
It's not the same. No, it's not the same. I got to be honest. 7-Eleven coffee is not the same.
I mean, you could
respectfully to 7-Eleven establishment.
Oh, you could doctor it up, for God's sake. It'll be close to it.
Since I've been on soda, I have a ton of clothes that are just, like, huge on me.
Yeah.
So I bagged them up and I brought them to one of the guys here. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, do you want these clothes? They're like some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
He walked by here. He looked like he was Tiger Woods. I gave him two Masters golf shirts.
I saw
a
him.
Vest.
Yeah, I saw him.
I got him shoes. He's walking down the street like doing like me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what time is your tea time?
It's black cap.
It was unbelievable.
It really was. Can't you? Have you seen this guy? You know, you're usually
yeah,
in the evening.
Yeah, I know. I have, yeah.
Okay, so, but I mean, he looks like, you know, Coach Daryl Drake. He's like a receiver's coach.
The Clemson hoodie that I loved that is two sizes too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. He walked by. I'm like, black Dabo Swinney.
Yes, pretty much.
I mean, he had all of it.
He was clean.
I think he's here on the weekends, too, on a Saturday morning. So I can assure you it's the same thing.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not looking down on anyone. All I'm saying is that I'm just wondering the background of the people that we see from time to time. That's all.
Right.
But being in the Starbucks line next to me and then asking me, can I get 50 cents? Like, hey,
Like our one guy out here?
Yeah.
He's got some awesome diamond earring in.
Yes.
Awesome. Like, it's good size, like one of the athletes wear.
I just like to know the story. That's all.
The backstory.
Yeah, that's all. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Wow. Are you standing in the same Starbucks I would be? Just get the 7-Eleven.
It's cheaper.
It just, you know, you keep $5.
He offered to buy you a coffee. All right, let me get you one.
No, thank you, sir.
I'm good.
Do you need to see the defense get better? Do you need to see the defense show signs of development against Detroit? We're going to get your thoughts on that here. 312-332-3776. And the reason why we start this way is because Matt Eberflus talked about the defense. This is his expertise. And then we know that the Bears are bereft of quality pass rushing talent because they traded it away or they let it walk, and we totally understand that. But, Cap, just like we talk about Justin Fields, his development, I want to see the development of Brisker and Gordon as well. I mean, they got worked Sunday. They've been getting worked. And it's quite an education for them against top-notch, top-flight wide receivers.
Because Tua had all day.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to run the football a little bit. Tua is not elusive. Jared Goff certainly not an elusive runner like we've got.
Man.
But, man, Tyreek Hill, if he runs an out and up, you're like, oh, God. And that just allows Tua to go back process. I'll go to Gesicki here. I'll go to Jalen Waddle there. I'll go to Tyreek here. And now you've got to deal with a Lions team that has a really good offensive line, has the ability to run the football. I just don't know if they can put enough points on the board.
All right, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We'll start off first in Frankfurt. Here's Mike on ESPN 1000 with Captain Jay Hood. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning, Jay Hood. How are you today?
We're fine, thank you.
Okay, I was at the game on Sunday, and the thing that was really, really apparent was how quick the defense was letting Miami score. That was the thing. I mean, the last two games, Cowboys and Miami, I mean, we had great times of possession. You think you'd wear their defense down. Not the case. Our defense was just letting them go crazy. Hey, that was the thing.
I just want to see three and out so I can see more Justin. That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
I want some stops.
With you on that.
Yeah.
With you on that, he was amazing on Sunday.
Yeah, but You're right. The Dolphin or the Dallas game, I think it was 14-0. They threw the ball down the field. Touched at first. They came out running.
Yeah,
with Pollard because Ezekiel was out.
Mm-hmm.
They're running the ball. We're in trouble. And then the next possession, they threw the ball and they hit CeeDee Lamb for a touchdown. They were beating us every which way scoring, and they got 49 points. I just don't know what's fair to expect, Mikey.
Yeah, I tell you, the thing that really was unbelievable was, you know, when they went down 10 points, I told my buddies, I says, the game is not over. It's just going to be very, very difficult. When they're down 10, 12 points, you know, with Justin, you're never out of the game. That's what I'm starting to see, and I love it.
All right, my friend. We're glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. And now he leaves line open, 312-332-3776. Southwest side, here's Justin on ESPN 1000.
What's up, Justin?
Justin?
Hey, Hoodie, Cap. I hope everything is good. I'm going to just make it simple. The last three games.
Hold on. You know, hold on a second.
What happened to Dallas?
You must identify as Justin from Dallas, man. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Hoodie.
You're in town?
I don't even think I need to elaborate. You all know exactly where I'm from. So I'll just let that be. Anyway, I feel like that the defense does need to step up. Okay? To me, this is a make it or break it game. It's the Lions. We should be able to get over the top this game. The last three games, we scored. The offense was looking crazy, but we lost. The defense, this is a make it or break it game, just in my opinion. Again, Justin Fields is looking immaculate. He's looking good. And this is coming from me because, you know, I was critical of him at first.
Yeah, no blank.
Yeah, hey, come on, Cap. Cap, okay, I don't understand. Like, I just don't want to lose. Okay, but, I don't know how many times I have to keep saying that.
But, Justin,
I don't want to lose. And okay, you all shouldn't want to lose either.
I don't want to lose, but you got to understand something. And, again, I learned. You fan how you want to fan, but I think you take a more micro look. I'm trying for me, not for anybody else, to have more of a macro look. I get pissed off when they lose like you do. Absolutely. But I think you, Justin, we've met, you've been down here, we took pictures together. Like, you're a diehard, man. You are into this for all our Chicago teams. You are the guy who I believe gets caught up in the minutiae of a win or a loss in a season where we're going nowhere. It doesn't really matter. I just want more talent here. Is that fair?
That's fair, Cap. Hoodie, that's fair. I can't argue with that. At the end of the day, I want the common denominator is wins, and you all said the development of Justin Fields. He's looking good. I just feel like this game, hopefully, we can go over the top and we get the win. That's all I want. That's all I want. I appreciate y'all taking my call. Also, Cap, I saw you last night on your show. You and McGuffey were talking about the White Sox. Hoodie, I'm disappointed that Rick Hines not doing nothing, but that's another story for another day. I appreciate y'all taking my call.
We appreciate you, Justin. You're the best.
Justin, thanks for the phone call. And coming up next, the Bulls fell short against the Pelicans. Why did that happen? We discuss it. Coming up next, you're in the right spot. It's Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap, Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app in which you could find the Odds Couple with Mike North and Carmen DeFalco. If you need your bets in, don't know who to bet on, check out the Odds Couple first on Fridays or check them out on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in today. We got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Cap, you and I watched the Bulls last night. The Bulls took on the New Orleans Pelicans, a plucky Pelicans team. I've liked them since they made the change to Willie Green as a head coach. Fired Stan Van Gundy.
I don't like the way you're rebounding.
Okay, that's enough of that.
You're out.
And out.
Did he replace Stan and Stan replaced Alvin Gentry, or was it other way around?
No, you got it.
I got it right.
Yeah. A solid head coach in Alvin Gentry. Shouldn't have been fired, but he was.
They have talent on that roster.
It is a very good roster. I'm a big Brandon Ingram fan.
Yeah. From Duke, right?
Pogo stick, a bundle of energy. You know, those are the guys that you want, energy guys, right?
Yeah.
Guys that can score the ball. He took over in that fourth quarter yesterday, ended up with 22 points. But, you know, not to just go through and comb through the box score, Cap, because we watched the game, but I just want to point out a couple things. And as a coach, I think that you'll agree with me on this. It is about effort, right? It's about the extra things that you do. In this game yesterday, the Bulls were out-rebounded in the contest, 50-36. Also, to the foul line, that you saw more slashing and going to the basket from the Pelicans than you did the Bulls. When you're at home and the Pelicans have 36 foul shots and the Bulls have 18, that's a major problem. That means that you are a jump-shooting team not trying to get calls. Was the officiating a little sketchy yesterday? Sure. But you're at home. You're supposed to be the initiator, the one that could be able to get those calls. And it just didn't happen for the Bulls yesterday. I was disappointed in the Bulls' effort, especially in the fourth quarter.
First of all, the other night when the Bulls won, they had 56 points in the paint, and they had a season high in paint touches.
Yeah.
I've been screaming about that forever. The best way to get a perimeter look is through the interior, through the post. You dive it in, kick it back out. Just because you throw it in doesn't mean you have to shoot it down there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times they just go through stretches where they just don't do it. And I don't understand why. I thought Vooch played a good game last night. He had a couple of big threes in the fourth quarter. DeMar had, what, 33?
Yeah.
Zach was solid, but his shooting percentage was off. He got a couple good looks and he missed them in key spots. And then you got that horrible turnover from DeMar. That's going to happen, man. That's just a physical error. They inbounded it down three.
Mm-hmm.
And it went off his hands, off his knee, out of bounds. That was the game.
Yeah.
It was over. But down the stretch, man, they, New Orleans, hit some really tough shots. Really tough. Like Brandon Ingram rose up on Caruso, who's a good defender.
Yeah.
And hit like a 21-footer. Bang! How in the hell?
Well, the Pels are longer than the Bulls. We've talked about
that. Great word for how to describe them.
So you start off with Ingram, Zion, who's a house in there, Valanciunas, Herb Jones is a terrific defensive player, C.J. McCollum's long as well, and so then you get your second group in there, and I think they're very solid as well. But from the Bulls, and we've talked about this a lot, Cap, it's just about size for this team. You don't have the banger down low. You talk about paint touches, right? I mean, here's Vucevic. He knocked down a key three. He was 2-for-4 from three. When he needed one, he gave it to you. In the fourth quarter, third into the fourth quarter.
Vooch.
Yes.
Yeah, he hit 2-1. That one deep one in the corner.
Yep.
Like the far corner.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. And then he hit another one. But they go in these stretches. And then, you know, there are times Zach tries to attack inside and he's looking for the foul. Doesn't get the call. I thought they missed a foul on DeMar going down the middle.
No question.
He got hit.
Yep.
No call. Goes the other way.
Yep.
And that's that combined with the turnover, ball game over. So, yeah, it's a game I feel like you could have won. I'm not saying you should have won. They need more perimeter shooting.
You know this how this league works, especially late in games. Someone's got to take the ball and be able to just be that slasher or knock it down key threes. Like, I look at this roster, and there's four things that have stood out to me so far about Bulls basketball. I mean, so one of them is that I did not expect Zach LaVine to be in and out of the lineup like this early. That's one thing. Players need rhythm. And for Zach and this whole maintenance with the knee, I think it's a surprise to both of us that Zach LaVine has been in and out of the lineup so far this season, has not played the full complement of 13 games so far.
Now, he's going to have an opportunity now to play because they don't have a back-to-back for a while. They're off now till Sunday.
Against Denver.
And they only have two games next week.
Then against New Orleans again, I think, Wednesday.
So he's going to have time, and he should not, barring any other catastrophe, he should play every game for a while.
Okay, so now you're also, the other point is, you're heavily really working on and hoping that DeMar DeRozan could bail you out. 24 points a game. No shade on his game. Who doesn't like DeMar DeRozan? But see, in this league where it's perimeter-oriented shooting, and he gives you, what, 0 for 2 from 3, he gave you 33 points, Cap. But, I mean, you got to have some kind of balance there. He's getting buckets, yes, but you got to be able to score the ball better from three-point range. Bulls were 7 for 27 from 3 yesterday.
That won't
get it done.
You've got to go get more shooting. That's my only real problem with what AK and Eversley did in the offseason. How could you not find more shooting?
You had to do that. Unless they looked at Dragic. And again, I like what Goran Dragic is doing. But you see the 25 minutes he had yesterday, Cap? That's not what's supposed to happen here. He's supposed to be like the third guard off the bench, giving you his best 10 or 15 minutes.
Correct.
25, I don't want him to get hurt because now he's become a key. That's not what his role is supposed to be. But that's not what his role is supposed to be. You see the salt and pepper in his hair?
Yeah.
He's in the autumn of his career.
He came down, one of the threes, the one that I was just saying to you, to Vooch, that he hit the corner.
Yeah.
Go back and watch that play and watch the way Dragic controls his body, gets into the paint, and then almost a no-look, bam, to the corner. The key to making a jump shot is having your feet already set. If you're a catch-and-shoot guy, like Zach will do it off the dribble. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Bam! Vooch's feet, he'd already had them set. His shoulders over his toes, elbow in, bam, load it up, let it go. Got it. That was set up by a great drive by Dragic.
If I told you that Patrick Williams would give you 15 and 8 would be his average at the end of the season, would you like that?
I'd take that in a second.
Okay. What do you think his letter grade is so far? Just games that you've seen.
Patrick Williams?
Yeah.
Trending in a better direction, but why was he not on the court the final 5 minutes last night? He's one of your best defenders.
Mm-hmm.
He's athletic. He can make plays. Final 5 minutes, Billy didn't trust him to be out there. That was concerning. He had, what, 4 rebounds last night?
Mm-hmm.
How many points? 7?
7 points, yep.
He's been okay. I need to see more. He's 76 days past his 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a baby. So I'm not, there are people that, okay, he's not good enough. We got to move up. See Lauri Markkanen last night? At 32.
That's fine.
He is 22nd in the league in scoring. It's early.
Yeah, no, that's
playing
fine.
Really well.
Look, you know what? When he was a Bull, it did not work out. So I don't look back. I go, good for him. The whole thing and the Utah Jazz, they're supposed to be tanking. They're going the wrong direction for Ainge.
They're like 10-3.
They're not supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be tanking.
Right.
But when I look at Wendell Carter Jr. or when I look at Lauri Markkanen, I see those numbers, I'm fine with it. Because as a Bull, it did not work. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube now.
Correct. But Lauri Markkanen is
fine.
25.
Fine.
I want to watch Patrick Williams at 25 in a Bulls uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not always willing. When did he leave the Bulls?
2 years ago.
2 years? So he was 23.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he might have needed a change of scenery.
Soft here. He just was. Just a young player that was did not develop quick enough. And I'm okay with that.
But
let him flourish someplace else. It just didn't work out here. But I'm never one of those fans that says, man, what could have been? Well, it just didn't work.
But sometimes we have, and I'm not saying you,
yeah,
we have to have more patience. This kid is a baby, 21 years old, doesn't turn 22, Patrick Williams, till next August. Lauri Markkanen is averaging almost 23 a game. Almost 9 rebounds a game, 2.5 assists a game, and he's 18th in the league in player efficiency rating.
Awesome.
It's early.
Awesome. And that offense for the Jazz, watch one Jazz game, you'll say, what's that team? They're running an offense I've never seen with Utah. Never seen it. Up and down, you know how, you know, it's up and under and through the way it is, you know, offensively, dump it down to the big guy, kick it out. No, it's a free-flowing offense for the Jazz.
It's
totally different.
Yeah. They're rolling.
Tom Brady has taken another L. Oh, my God.
We've got to hear this.
Got to talk about it coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you with us here. Don't forget, we got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Deal Breakers at 8:35 because it is a Deal Breakers Thursday on Cap and Jay Hood. Now,
you okay?
Some thoughts about, of course. I'm great.
Heard the fine.
Not a fine. No, but it's a nice...
I thought he powered through. I'm not giving him the fine, Shay.
Yeah, always trying to get in my pocket. Won't work, pal. Lumberjack, thank you very much.
If I see you at Starbucks, I'll get in your pocket. That's apparently the key.
No, that won't happen. But I'll get you an axe, though, to match the shirt.
Appreciate you.
But nonetheless, Tom Brady, we've talked about him a lot. Tom Brady going through a divorce. But the thing that we did not mention, Cap, is that, yes, he's gone through a divorce, but what a comeback victory for him. Talk about pulling out in the bottom of the ninth. How about that?
9 seconds left, Brady delivers.
How about that?
Yeah.
So it's vintage Brady that came out in that game in a victory for Tampa. So what's the latest on Tom Brady now? Shay Norling.
Well, if you vaguely remember, a little over a year ago, a commercial came out, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen in their beautiful home.
Yes.
And they were calling all of their friends, telling everybody, quit your job, purchase this cryptocurrency. It's the future. Jake, do we have a little audio from this commercial?
We do.
Can I talk to you about something?
Yeah, we talked about it. I got another 10 years left. Maybe 15.
Not bad. This is big. What do you think? Are you in?
You know what? I'm in. Let's call everyone.
That was an FTX ad for the cryptocurrency company FTX. You may know them because they sponsored MLB umpires. They were all over the MLB umpires' uniforms.
Yeah.
And the FTX Arena is in Miami where the Heat play.
Correct. Well, it was the formerly named FTX Arena because it turns out FTX is insolvent.
What do you mean they're insolvent?
Well, tell us a story. Why are they insolvent?
FTX basically had no money and is selling off their last investments to another company because they can't afford to continue. The last investors are their first investors were also their last investors. They had to see themselves out and are selling off to, I can't remember the name of the company, BitPurse or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom Brady got behind FTX, telling all his friends, quit your job and buy it. Now it's gone under. And the crypto market has tanked as a result. So Tom Brady cannot stop taking losses.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
FTX, which was founded by Sam Bankman-Fried, has seen its token FTT crash, which has culminated in a rival issue here. Can you believe this, Cap? So here's Tom Brady that agreed to an equity deal with FTX in 2021 as a brand ambassador and the face of it. But the FTT exchange has crashed over the last few days, as Chase told us.
So
that's not good at all.
Right. He says, without a cash infusion, we will file bankruptcy.
He lost 94% of his wealth in a single day. This is Sam Bankman-Fried, the guy who ran FTX. 94% of his wealth in a single day. Gone. Evaporated. See ya.
Also, I think I saw this with Revel.
You just took his last sentence lightly. Did you?
94%. Gone.
See ya.
Cap.
You better be worth billions to be able to still be a wealthy dude.
94% of your wealth is gone?
Okay. How about, Shay, correct me if I'm wrong. Did OBJ not take his entire Ram salary in Bitcoin?
That is correct. That's the only way he could get on the field.
Well, that's gone down dramatically. Dramatically.
So this,
and so he, I think, ended up losing money on his Rams deal.
Okay, so Brady, if there was a bet in Vegas to wonder whether or not he's going to take this Fox deal, he has to take this Fox deal after he's retired. Right? He's going to have to. Just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
I mean, just, seriously. He's outside looking for a Starbucks.
I just want to. The average closing price for Bitcoin in February 2022, when Odell announced he would take the entire $750,000 of his contract in Bitcoin, was $40,812. The latest price is $20,000. So he lost about 50% of his contract.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so wait. Here's what Revel is saying. What are you reading from, Shay?
I just got the average prices from Google.
Yeah. Okay, here's Rovell's tweet. I just found it. This week, a year ago, Odell Beckham agreed to a one-year deal for $750,000 to play for the Rams. He announced at that time he's converting the entire salary to Bitcoin.
Right.
At the time he signed, Bitcoin was valued at $64,293. He was taxed on the $750,000 at 50.3% federal and the huge tax in California. Today, Bitcoin is $16,331, making his $750,000 deal a $190,000 deal. If Beckham still has that Bitcoin, which people believe he does, his 2021 season, which ended in a Super Bowl title, cost him $187,250.
How about Tom Brady?
We'll have to find out what he lost on the equity and FTX.
I wonder how much he took on that FTX deal. Or did he just go, just pay me a cat?
Boy, you're paying the FTX deal, the divorce lawyers. Things are looking rough.
How much did they pay to sponsor what stadium? Miami Heat?
Mm-hmm.
How much did they pay for that? They had to have written a check.
Man. Shot or no shot. 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.
Wow.